Okay, all right. So we're on Daf Kuf Yud Dalet tonight. I'll begin a few lines from the top. The third line. Okay, everybody all set? So this is 114a, Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan, Mishrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. So Rabbi Rachana says in Rabbi Yochanan, who had a statement in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, Echol Batzel, eat onions, v'shev Batzel, and rest in the shade, lo techul abazim v'tarnagolim, and as opposed to, in other words, eat simple food that doesn't cost a lot of money, that's the onion, and don't eat, v'lo techul abazim v'tarnagolim, don't eat geese and chickens, v'elibcha rodef alecha, and then you're going to like habituate yourself to expensive food, and you'll eat yourself through house and home. Pachot mimechlach u'mishtech, reduce the amount of food and drink you take in, v'tosif al diratach, and use the money to improve your home. In other words, cut back on the food bill, and you'll increase the sort of like the maintenance, you know, the maintenance, income you have to take care of your house. Although they quoted in the art scroll that the Ben Yehoyada has a shot here. He says that the dira is not talking about your earthly home. It means like your place in Shemayim, and you'll use the money for mitzvot. So you'll be able to use the excess money for mitzvot. V'tosif, and it says, Ki'ata Ula, when Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar, Mitlamatlin b'marava, he says they have a mashal that they say in the West in Eretz Yisrael, Da'achil Alyata Tashe Balita. Person means Alyata. Alya is like the fatty tail of the sheep, but it means like fatty meat. In other words, like excessive, food expenditures. He'll have to hide in his attic. In other words, his creditors will be after him. He'll have to hide out. He says the achil kakule, but a person who eats the vegetables, akikle de mata shachiv, he could even lie on the garbage heap in the town, but it means it's a place where everybody goes. He doesn't have to be afraid of anybody. He'll be in good shape. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? Okay, I'm going to go on. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Manitin. Mazgu lo kos rishon. So Mazgu, either they diluted or poured for him the first cup of wine. And this cup is the first of the four cups, and he's using it for Kiddush. It's at the Seder. Beit Shammai omrim, mevarech al yom, acharkak mevarech al yayin. So we had this machloket in Masechet Brachot. If you remember, there are a number of machlokot that Beit Shammai and Hillel have in the Suda and other machlokot in general that they have. Remember, there's a big Mishnah that describes all the machlokot they have. So Beit Shammai says that you make the bracha on the day. In other words, like the bracha of Kiddush, which is like Mekadosh Yisrael Vahazmanim. So that bracha you make first, v'charkach mevarech al yayin, and then you make the bracha of borei pri hagafen. V'hil says, no, you make the bracha on the wine first, and then you make the bracha on the yom. All right? Let's take a look back in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Devarim Shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel B'Suda, the machlokot between Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, and Suda, we're only going to mention one of the machlokot. Beit Shammai Omrim Mavarech Al Yom, Acharkach Mavarech Al Yayin. Beit Shammai says, first you make the bracha on the yom, Mekadosh Yisrael B'Hazmanim, and then you make the bracha on the gefen. He says, "Bnei shayom gorim liyayin shiyavo." He says, the only reason you're having wine before the Suda is because of the day. In other words, normally you wouldn't have wine before the Suda. So the only reason you're having that wine is because it's a special day. So it makes sense that we'll make the bracha on the day first. And then reason two, before kiddush yom vadayin yayin loba, the day happened by sort of act of law. In other words, when Seisa Kochavim came, it had the Kedushas Yantiv, or the person was Makabel Yantiv early, and then he comes home, and then he brings the, and then the wine is eventually taken out. So in the chronology of events, the Kedushas Yom came before the Yayin. That's Beit Shammai. Uvid Hill Omrim, Mevarach al Yayin, Mecharchach Mevarach al Yom. The Hill says you make the bracha on the wine first, and then the Yom. That the wine is a sine qua non for Kiddush. In other words, if I don't have wine, I don't have bread, I can't make Kiddush. So the wine is essential for the Kiddush. So the item that's essential, I'll make that bracha first. Davar acher, or another reason, Birchat Yayin Tadira, Birchat Yom Eina Tadira. So Birchat Yayin Tadira is common, but it doesn't mean common just that I make bracha on wine. It means for mitzvot, I make bracha on wine for Kiddush, I make bracha on wine for Avdalah, I make bracha on wine for a bris, I make bracha on wine at a sheva brachot. That's the way they said in the footnotes. He says, Tadir Vishnon Tadir, Tadir Kodem. So that which is frequent, not frequent, we do the Tadir first. Vihilcha Kedivrei Beit Hillel. Then the Brisa, last line of the Brisa says, Halacha follows Beit Hillel, as we're accustomed to doing. We make the brach on the wine first, and then the Kiddush Hayom. So the Gemara says, My Dabar Acher, why was it necessary for Beit Hillel to give a Dabar Acher, a second reason? Because Beit Hillel gave two reasons, right? One was that without the wine, you couldn't say Kiddush. And this other is that Birkat Hayom is Tadira. So the Gemara says, V'chitei mahatam tarati v'hachachara. Because you might say, Beit Shammai's got two reasons in its corner. So Beit Shammai, reason number one is that the only reason I'm making the bracha wine is because it's the yom. Otherwise, I wouldn't make a bracha wine. And then, kvar kiddush hayom, adayin yayin loba. In other words, the day is sanctified, and then the wine comes out. So, v'chitei mahatam tarti v'hachachara, if you would say they have two reasons to support their position, but he only has one, hachanami tarti ninhu, tadir v'shino tadir, tadir kodem. So here too, it's two versus two. And then the Braisa says, v'alach k'divrei b'et Hillel. So the Gemara says, Pshita, obviously the halacha follows Beit Hillel, danafik bat kol. So the Gemara in Masechet Erevin, we had this in Daf Yomi and Daf Yud Gimel, said there was that, remember it said that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argued, for, I think it was for 3.5 years, and then a bat kol came out, said the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So if the bat kol, the heavenly voice came out and said the halacha is like Beit Hillel, of course the halacha is like Beit Hillel. So the Gemara says, Ibay Dema Kona Bat Kol. I could say that this Brisa was taught or formulated before the Bat Kol. So before the Bat Kol, so the Brisa is formulating, the Lacha follows Beit Hillel here. The Ibay Dema, else I could say, La'achar Bat Kol, was formulated after the Bat Kol. Rabbi Yoshua Hi Da'amari Mashkichim Bat Kol. But it follows the Tana Rabbi Yoshua. Yeshua says we don't follow the Bat Kol. If you remember, that's the Gemara in Bab Metzia and Daftan Tet with the Tanur Shalach Noi, this Tanur that was made of segments, and Reb Lezer was Metaher, and the Chachamim were Metameh, and then Reb Lezer performed all these sort of, where he says, if the halacha is like me, let this prove it, let's prove it, let the carob tree prove it, let the channel of water prove it, let the walls of the base medrash prove it. So each thing would occur the way Reb Lezer said, so Rabbi Yeshua says, and then this is, we don't listen to these things. Then he says, well, halacha is like me, min hashamayim yuchichu, from the heavens they should prove it. And then a heavenly voice comes, says, the halacha is like Reb Lezer. So Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't listen to this heavenly voice. So it could be that our Braisa is going like the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. So that being the case, the Tana has to say that we don't listen to a bat kol, but indeed the halacha notwithstanding that is like Beit Hillel. All right, let me just do a few more lines, then we'll talk, okay? Let me just do the last Rashbam, and then I'm going to do one Tosfos, and then we'll talk, okay? Or I would do then one more thing. Okay, if you look at last Rashbam, this is on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, 114a, welcome Seth, around the 15th medium wide line in the Rashbam downstairs. Rabbi Shuhi, Bevamotzim Perak HaZahav, Gabi Tanur Shecharcho Chuliot, Amad Rishuva Amar, Imashkichim Bevat Kol. Vehilkach Ledidei, Hutzrach Lomar, Bezu, Hilchatuk Beit Hillel. So for Rabbi Yoshua, so the Tana had to say the Lacha follows Beit Hillel here. Shibasharman Chloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, Shalhukba Befei Rosh Halacha Beit Hillel, Sfirulei, Shirozala Sokh Divrei Beit Shammai Oseh, Divrei Beit Hillel Oseh. That Rabbi Yoshua holds by other Machlokot, if you want to follow Beit Hillel, you follow Beit Hillel. You want to follow Beit Shammai, you follow Beit Shammai. Kidatani Beit Lutrefot, Mukmina La Libid Rabbi Yoshua, like there's a case in Beit Lutrefot where it seems like the Bryce is going like Beit Shammai, and we said this following the way Rabbi Yeshua says. Okay, let's look at the third Tosfos, and then I'll say something else, then we'll go. So the third Tosfos, the Amari Meshkichim Bevat Kol, everybody have Tosfos, everybody there, are we all focused? Okay, the Amari Meshkichim Bevat Kol, Im Tomar, Maishna de Kaimelan Kabat Kol de Beit Hillel, below Kaimelan Kabat Kol de Reb Lezer. So now Tosfos is bothered like this. So how do we follow? So we do follow the Bat Kol, right? We say the Halacha is like Beit Hillel, right? So we follow the Bat Kol. So if we follow that Bat Kol, why don't we follow the Bat Kol by Reb Lezer? Why by Reb Lezer not? What's the difference, one Bat Kol, another Bat Kol? That's what's bothering Tosfos. So he says, V'yesh lomar, tahaka beit hillel havu ruba. So he says, there are other reasons to pass in like beit hillel here. Beit hillel was more numerous, and there was more people felt the way beit hillel felt with respect to Kiddush and other machlokot as well. He says, Ela de beit shammai mechadei tfei, but beit shammai were sharper. So it was like, quantitatively, beit hillel won out. Quantitatively, beit shammai won out. So that was the part that was sort of like the fly in the ointment. But the Metzias, so the Bet Kol said, Allah is Beit Hillel. But Alibi de Hilchata, it was the majority. You follow the majority. So we follow Beit Hillel. Aval Hatam, the Bet Kol Hayan, Keneged Rabim. But Reb Lezer and the Chachamim, the majority was against Reb Lezer. All the Chachamim were against him. He was in the distinct minority. He says, Lo Kaimalan Hachi. Then we don't follow him. Ubat kolo yatsta. So the question is, then why does the bat kol come out? If he's in the minority, why is the bat kol saying the halacha is like Reb Lezer? That doesn't sound good. So the Gemara says, Ubat kol, we're in the third Tosos, Robert. Kuf yudal and Amud Aleph, the third Tosos, okay? He says, Ubat kolo yatsta el lechvodo. The bat kol came out of kavod for the Tana Reb Lezer. Kit kamrina hatam in a shamayim yochichu. He, Reb Lezer, said, a shamayim yochichu. The implication being that it was just like out of kavod, but really the halakha was not like Reb Lezer. That's what it sounds like. Dim tomar, hechi kamar, Reb Yeshuahi. So now Tosus is bothered. So how can the Gemara say that now that he's mechalik between the two bat kols, and the case of Reb Lezer is very different than the case with Beit Hillel? So how can we say that maybe over here this brisa was going like Rabbi Yeshua, who says we don't follow the bat kol? How Rabbi Yeshua kai a bat kol Reb Lezer? Rabbi Yeshua was saying we don't listen to a bat kol, but he was saying we don't listen to the bat kol by Reb Lezer. So, but maybe even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that the bat kol by Beit Hillel we would listen to because the Beit Hillel was the majority. Says V'yish Lomar Midikamar Imashkichim Bavat Kol. Since Rabbi Yeshua made the statement Ein Mashkichim Bavat Kol, it was like a blanket statement without qualification. Mishum Delo. What's our ayin here? Yeah, Mishum Delo Bashamayim He Mashma Duchol Duchta Leitlan LeMezal Batar Bat Kol. From that statement, it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua says we never follow the Bat Kol. So that being the case, so the Gemara had to say Hilchatah Beit Hillel because of that. Okay, now let me just do one more thing, and then I'll open up the floor for some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? And then let me just take out we have our sheet here. One minute. One second. This is it. Now it's Kuf Yudalet. Okay. Now, we spoke about Kiddush. We said Kiddush on Leil Shabbos consists of two brachot, Bir Kadayayim, the bracha on the wine, and the Bir Kadayom. On a Friday night, it's Mekadosh HaShabbat, and then on Yantav, Mekadosh Yisrael B'Hazmanim. So Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree which bracha comes first, and the Gemara gives two reasons for Beit Hillel. Either Yayin Gorim L'Kiddush Teomer, the wine causes the Kiddush to come. If not for the wine, Kiddush could not be recited. In other words, that's the sine qua non. You have to have wine in order to recite Kiddush within Beit Hillel. And the Birchat Yayin is more tzitira. It's more common by other mitzvahs like Havdalah, Sheva Brachot, and Bris Milah. So now he quotes from the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch. He rules that if one mistakenly reversed the order of Brachot. Now let's say it's Friday night or Leil Yantiv, and by mistake I flipped over the order of the Brachot. So, and I recited Mekadosh Shabbos before Borei Pri Gafen, or Mekadosh Yisrael B'Hazmanim before Borei Pri. So the Alter Rebbe says he's not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush. He says because he didn't do the mitzvah in the order prescribed by Hillel, he must repeat the bracha Mekadosh Shabbat, so it follows Borei Pri Gafen. And that that relates as a pre-Megadim. I mentioned to you when the Chachamim were talking something, if you do it differently, so you're not yet, you don't say the mitzvah. Now, the Yeshua's Yaakov notes that for some women, after hearing Kiddush from their husband, they recite their own bracha Borei Pri Gafen before drinking the wine. He objects to this practice because by doing so, they are in effect reversing the proper order of the brachot. They're listening on Friday night table. The husband says Mekadosh Shabbos, and then they pick up the cup of wine and say Borei Pri Hagafen. So in effect, they're not Yotze with his Borei Pri Hagafen. They're trying to be Yotze with his bracha, and they're flipping the brachot. So he says bad news. Now, that'll be subject to connection with what's coming up. The Pnei Yoshua points out, and this is in brachot, the obligation to recite the bracha of Kiddush is Minat Torah. In other words, Mekadosh Shabbos, the Birkat Yom, that's Doraisa. He says, whereas the mitzvah to recite Kiddush over wine is only midrabanan. Consequently, he argues that the Birkat HaYom should take precedence. In other words, he wants to say that Pnei Yehoshua is asking the Birkat HaYom should have priority for a different reason. The Gemara did not discuss this issue, but if one bracha is min haTorah and one bracha is drabanan, so logically I should do the one that's min haTorah first. So the two brachot, if you assume that the bracha, the Kiddush HaYom, is Doraisa, that's min haTorah. So that should take precedence over the mitzvah drabanan. The Tzlach raises another question. He asks why the Gemara assumes that if one does not have wine, he does not recite Kiddush. Yain gorim le Kiddush shetamir. So the Gemara says, without wine, I could not recite Kiddush. So the Tzlach says, why is that the case? He argues that if one does not have wine or bread, he should still be obligated to recite the bracha of Kiddush, since the mitzvah of sanctifying Shabbos is min haTorah, and one can fulfill this mitzvah even without wine. The obligation to recite Kiddush over wine is only midrabanan. Okay, so we have two questions. One is, why don't I say that the bracha yom is first for another reason, a different reason than the Gemara mentioned, that it's deraisa and the other bracha is derabanan? And secondly, let's say a person, like it's pulling out one of the rayas that Beit Hillel says. The Beit Hillel says that yain gorim le kiddush teamer, that the wine is crucial for reciting Kiddush. But even if I don't have wine, the Tzlach asks, I should be able to say the bracha by itself. Those are the questions on the table. So in answer, the Pnei Yehoshua and the Tzlach suggests that one discharges his biblical obligation when he recites the bracha on Kaddish Shabbos and Marv Shmona Esrei. So he says, when we daven Marv, we're Yotzei Min HaTorah. That's what he wants to say. The bracha on Kaddish Shabbat, when one recites at home over a cup of wine, is only midrabanan. The Gemara considers, so they're both derabanan. So by the time you get home, they're both derabanan. That's the way the Tzlach and the Pnei Yehoshua say. The Gemara considers wine to be the cause for Kiddush because there's no obligation to repeat the bracha, Mekadosh Shabbat, unless he's got wine or bread. The Tzlach comments that according to this reasoning, a woman who did not daven Mariv and recites Kiddush for herself should be obligated to reverse the order of the bracha. So let's say a woman's at home and she did not daven Mariv. So now, according to that logic, she should be obligated to say the bracha on the Kiddush HaYom first and then the bracha Yayin. Since in this case, the bracha Kiddush is min haTorah, Beit Hillel would agree it must precede the bracha over wine. Shaar Mitzvayim BaHalacha, that was from Rabbi Brown, who this was very popular, like going back to the 1950s, he comments that perhaps this is why some women, upon receiving Kiddush wine from their husbands, recite their own bracha Borei Pri HaGafen. Since they did not daven Mariv, typically women don't daven Mariv, it is fitting that the bracha of Kiddush, Mekadosh Shabbos, that they hear from their husbands, precede the bracha Borei Pri HaGafen. So he wants to learn a Shtickle Torah. Not that they did the wrong thing by saying the bracha Borei Pri HaGafen. They did the right thing, because they're Yotze the bracha on a Derisa level, and flip it over the other way. Now, the only thing I want to add on to this is that the Mishnah Berurah says that a person preferably should be Yotze on a Derisa level. The Kiddush, he says, this is not going like with the Tzlach and the Pnei Yehoshua. The Mishnah Berurah says a person, when he comes at night, should have Kavana. Not that he wants to be Yotze the Mitzvah Doraisa with his Tfila, he should have in mind that he wants to be Yotze the Mitzvah at home. So he'll be Yotze, with the Lech HaMishnah, the wine, the whole Zach, that's a higher level, but then everything goes back. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? Let's hear.
Why is this a question on the women? If you have a table full of people and you say, Barovam Hadrat Melech, and one person is going to be Motzi, everyone else on the Kiddush, then why would a woman say Borei Pri HaGafen and not a man afterwards?
No, it means like this, that he wants to say the men are already Yotze.
Let's say the woman said Mariv.
So then it's no different. There is no difference then.
Right.
If the women didn't daven Mariv, typically a woman doesn't daven Mariv and the men do daven Mariv. So the thinking is the woman is chayav on a deraisa level on the Kiddush HaYom. The man is only chayav on a drabanan level.
There's like a sandwich. There's a gafen yom gafen.
Yeah, but in other words, she's yotze the way this is going. She's yotze shomeya kaona. She hears somebody cite the bracha. She answers amen. I'm yotze with a bracha. But then another bracha she's making on her own. So it's getting like a little sort of a charisma.
Why would she make that bracha on her own? That's the question.
Which the Borei Pri HaGafen?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the question that we have. So he says he's just reporting that some women do that. So the first way around, we were saying,
is that the way women are educated or were educated?
I don't know. But in other words, but the first way around, we were saying,
I never do that.
Okay. So the first way around, we were saying it didn't make so much sense. But now the second way around, it's saying maybe there's a whole shtickle Torah behind.
Maybe she's smarter than everyone else.
Maybe it does make more sense. Okay, any other questions?
Yeah, no, didn't we say that we going to Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel also study Beis Shammai's side?
Yeah, right. The Gemara said that relates to what we said in Tosfos. Remember, we said he quoted just that Hillel was more numerous.
But the Gemara
says, why was Beis Hillel Zocha that the halacha should be nikba like them? So he says because there were no chim zeb halacha.
Not the bas kol. No, there wasn't the bas kol.
Right. That's an alternative reason that the Gemara gives. The Gemara gives the bat kol, and then the Gemara also says. The Gemara mentions that Beit Hillel was more numerous. And then the Gemara says, why was Beit Hillel Zocha that the halacha should be nikba according to them? And it says because they spoke pleasantly, and the Shonim Devraim and Devrei Beit Shammai, they would teach Beit Shammai. So, but that's really explaining why they arrived at the MS. In other words, that would be the pshat, the way I would say in the Gemara. That's the method of learning. All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Doesn't Beit Shammai agree to Tadir Enu, Tadir Kodem Ru?
Yeah, let me go over. I should have left that out. Let's go over, and then we'll come to your question in a second. Let's look back in the Rashbam. This is on around the 10th medium-wide line. Tadir Kodem, everybody have it? In the Rashbam, downstairs. Tadir Kodem, B'masechet Zvachim, Nafkin Lamei Haikra. In Masechet Zvachim, the Gemara on Daf Pei Tet learns it from the following Pasuk. D'tibim Musafim, Yilavad Olad HaBoker, Sher Olad HaTamid. In other words, you bring the Korban Musaf, besides the Korban Tamid. That sounds like after you bring the Korban Tamid, then you bring the Korban Musaf. The words Asher Lulad HaTamid are superfluous. That's extra words. That's teaching me that the reason that is the case is because it's tadir. So in Akinami, in other words, Beit Shammai will agree that one is more tadir. Presumably, Beit Shammai will agree that Birkas HaYayin is more tadir, but Beit Shammai still has its own arguments, and they felt that those arguments, you know, overcome. In other words, you have two versus two. So Beit Shammai felt that their arguments were, you know, qualitatively superior. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Let's go on. Okay. We're five lines from the bottom at the next Mishnah. Okay. So Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph 114a. Okay, in the Mishnah. So Manitin, Hevi'u Lefanav Mitalba B'Chazeret. Now the Mishnah doesn't say what they brought before him, but Rashi in the Rashbam, if you look in the Rashbam, says Hevi'u Lefanav Hayirakot Achar Shebirach Al Yayin. They brought the vegetables after he made the bracha. In other words, after he recited Kiddush, they brought like karpas out. He says, Metabel b'chazeret. Now, when it says Metabel b'chazeret, it means, even though it's a strange turn of phrase, but we've had this elsewhere in this parak, means the chazeret is what you're eating. Now, chazeret, if you remember, is one of the types of maror. Remember, on Daf Lamed Tet, we learned in the Masechta that there were five types of maror, and chazeret was number one. Chazeret is the lettuce, okay? So chazeret is number one, and maror was number five. So it says, "Mitabu b'chazeret." In other words, he's going to dip the chazeret. So we're talking about a case. His karpas is the chazeret, and his maror is the chazeret. He's got the same vegetable for karpas and for maror. It says, "Mitabu b'chazeret, ad shemagil parperet apat," until he gets to parperet apat. So one way to understand is, "Omaklo can reshown him what this means," but one way to understand it, parperet apat, that which accompanies the bread, the matzah, which means the maror. And the Rashbam says the maror like makes you hungrier. So in other words, you're going to eat this, and then that'll be it until you eat the maror with the matzah. He says, "Hevi lufanav matzah v'chazeret v'charoset u'shnei tavshilin." Then they brought before him, and it means we'll see in a minute. Tosfos says they removed the table and brought the table back. In other words, excuse me, I didn't say right. They had the table, pulled the table away, and then they brought it back. So, Hevi lufanav Matzah, v'chazer, v'charoset, u'shnei tavshilin. They brought before in front of him the matzah, the chazeret, which is a type of bitter herb, the charoset, and the two cooked dishes. And on our Seder plate, we have, you know, the roasted shank bone and the egg, but it means two cooked dishes. And one obviously corresponds or reminds us of the Korban Pesach, and one reminds us of the Korban Chagiga. Afal pishein charoset mitzvah, even though dipping in the charoset is not a mitzvah per se. Now, it's just to like reduce the like the pungency, the maror. That's the way the Mishnah is saying. But Reb Elazar Rutzadok omer mitzvah. Reb Elazar Rutzadok says, no, it is a mitzvah. And according to Reb Elazar Rutzadok, he would say you make a bracha to eat the charoset. And it means the charoset reminds us of certain things, like with the you know, the servitude in Egypt and the clay and things like that. He says, and uva mikdash uvevilin fanav gufo shel pesach. At the time of the base of mikdash, they would also bring out the animal that had been roasted, the korban pesach, and they'd bring out the korban chagiga as well, even though the Mishnah doesn't mention the korban chagiga. All right, now let me just do a few things in here. One minute. This we have. All right, let me just see. One second. Yeah, why don't we do the second to last Tosfos? Let's do Heviv Lefanav Matzah. Everybody have it? The second to last Tosfos. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me do first the fourth Tosfos, then we'll do the second last one, okay? Let's do the 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's do the fourth Tosfos. Heviv Lefanav, Pirish Rashbam Yirakot. So Rashbam, and Rashi also says it means they brought vegetables. Ain nira. So Tos says, I don't think that makes sense. Midlo katani behedye v'yulafanav chazeret, kita katani besamach v'yulafanav matzah. That's strange. How come line 3 of the Mishnah, it says v'yulafanav matzah, the chazeret, what they brought out. And here's just v'yulafanav is just hanging. And you're saying they brought out vegetables. With vegetables, it would spell it out. V'nira kapir shur ben chananel, v'yulafanav shulchan, shrei eim v'yina shulchan anachar kiddush, so he, Tosfos thinks Heviv Lefanav means they brought out the table, and the table in Hachinami, it has a chazeret on it, but it means they brought out the table. That's what he takes it. Now, let's do the second to last Tosfos. Heviv Lefanav Matzah, Lefisha Akrua Shulchan, Lefne Misha Omer Haggadah. They were Oker the Shulchan before the person who says the Haggadah, Voseh Seder. The reason that we're okar the shulchan, we have the shulchan, then we take it away, is so the son will ask questions. The father said they're going to bring it back, so we'll do a second dipping. Anyway, the first dipping is the karpas in the meimelach, and the second dipping is the maror in the charoset. He says, "V'haben yishal laman amap in the shtei pamim." The son's going to ask, "How can we dip twice?" Umiyak sheokrin machzirin lefanav v'hamatzah v'maror alav. And then when they're okay, then they bring it back, and the matzah and the maror is on it. Shis lamor b'hagadah matzah zu maror zeh. Ukida amar lechemoni sheonim lav dvorim harbein. Now, okay. Who's got questions on anything we did so far?
Does the charoset refer to lettuce here, or
wait? Charoset is not lettuce. Chazeret is the lettuce. Chazeret is, but it means it's a bitter herb. But
Okay, I'm mixing them up.
Okay, everybody good? Okay, all right. Let's turn the page, and we're on the top line on Kuf Yudal and Amud Beis. Okay, all right. Now let me just do a hakdama a little bit. You know, there's a machloket in the Gemara, and it comes up also in Rosh Hashanah, but more than one place in Shas, whether mitzvot srichot kavana or mitzvot ain srichot kavana. Do I have to have kavana before I do a mitzvah that I want to fulfill a mitzvah? Or if I just do the act, do I automatically have, you know, fulfillment of the mitzvah? In other words, let's say I left the lulav in an estrog, I don't think anything. So have I fulfilled the mitzvah or not? where I put on tefillin, I don't think anything. Have I fulfilled the mitzvah or not? So we actually hold halach lemaisa. We hold mitzvot srichot kavana. We hold that mitzvahs do require kavana, but the poskim say in certain instances one can impute the kavana from the context of what the person is doing. So if a person recites Shema in the brachot of Kriyat Shema, and even though he should specifically have in mind he wants to fulfill a mitzvah, but even if he didn't specifically have that in mind, we can impute that that's what he intended, since it's in that context. But we'll see. So the Gemara is going to connect that machloket to our Mishnah. Okay, so the top line. Amar Reish Lakish, Zodo Meret, Mitzvot Srichot Kavana. So Reish Lakish says, from our Mishnah, one could extrapolate that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that since he says that you'll bring out this, in other words, you're going to have the same, I'm calling it lettuce, the chazeret, in other words, the same bitter herb you're going to eat twice. He's not having celery for his karpas. He's having bitter herbs for his karpas. So he's going to eat bitter herbs and then eat bitter herbs again. So from the fact that the Tana of the Mishnah says you'll eat it twice, presumably, Reish Lakish says, the only reason to eat it twice because mitzvah srichos kavana, and the first time he does not have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah. And it's good that he doesn't have in mind because it's better to fulfill the mitzvah after you've done the mitzvah matzah. That's what Reish Lakish is saying. So, Am Reish Lakish, Zodo Merit mitzvah srichot kavana, Kevin Lobidan Chiyuva de Maror Huda Achile, since he's not eating it at the time of the obligation of Maror. Again, Maror, Amatzot Marim Yochluhu. You want to eat Maror right after you have the matzah. So, to have maror before, it's not ideal, even though you would be yotzei the mitzvah if you ate it, but it's not ideal. It's not the time to do it. Borei pri adama da'achile. All he's making is the bracha borei pri ha'adama. V'dilma lo yichavin l'maror. So maybe when he ate it the first time, he did not have in mind that he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. He says, hilkach by the mehadar, lat bula d'shem maror. So then afterwards, he has to dip it. Now, when it says lat bula, he will dip it, but at bula, you can also think of it as like eating. Like, it's like the two are almost synonymous. They did most of their food, they did dipping. In this case, we are dipping, but it means like, if you imagine, like eating. So he's going to have to eat it again. If you would assume that mitzvahs don't require kavana, he says, lamalach tre tibule. Why does he have to, in other words, he's going to eat it and dip it and eat it and dip it. So why does he have to eat it twice? He says, "Ba'tabulei chadazimna." He already dipped it once. What does he have to dip it again? So okay, so that's Reish Lakish's proof. Okay, everybody got the proof. Okay, everybody good. Okay, so
can you repeat that? I think
okay, again, so there's a machlok in the Gemara whether mitzvot strichos kavana or don't require kavana.
Right.
So Akish wants to say from our Mishnah, you see a raya that mitzvot strichot kavana, because our Mishnah is saying you'll bring out chazeret, which is a type of bitter herb, you'll eat it, and notwithstanding you ate it once, you'll have to eat it again.
Right.
Why would you have to eat it twice? So if I say mitzvot strichos kavana, I understand. The first time around, he may not have had in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is preferably after the matzah. The first time around, he's just making bori pri hadama. So he didn't have in mind for the mitzvah, so he has to eat it twice. And that's why the Mishnah seems, if mitzvah ain't strichot kavana, so I would expect he's only going to eat it once, and then that's it. He did it. He's done. Good? Everybody good?
Good enough.
Robert, you good? You look really puzzled. You all right, Robert?
If he had the kavana, right, then he only would eat it once.
Right, right? Correct.
But aren't you supposed to dip twice?
So we'll see what we're supposed to do and not do. But the point is, he would not have to eat it more than once.
But then he's not doing the complete mitzvah.
Or well, the mitzvah is to eat maror. That's the mitzvah.
So why do you have to dip twice?
All right, well, the dipping we're going to come to in a minute. Okay, that's really what the Gemara is going to say in a minute. You're machaving a little bit to the next line of the Gemara. Okay, let's see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says on line six, Mimai, what type of proof is that? Is that conclusive? Dilma liolam mitzvot ein srichot kavana. Maybe mitzvot don't require kavana. So in Achinami, he did fulfill the mitzvah of Maror the first time he ate it. He says, Udakamar tre tibuli lamali. He said, why would he dip twice? He says, Kihechi lebeha kere latino kot. That's so the kids will ask questions, right? That's, I think, what you were referring to, Robert, that you're dipping twice so the kids, well, people will ask questions. Why are we dipping twice? You know, b'chol ha'orenu ma'pilina filu pa'machat. All the nights we don't dip even once. Halayla zesh shtei pa'mim, tonight twice. So why was that? So maybe that's it. So you don't have a real proof. The chitay maybe would say like this: im kainli shamin and sha'ari rakod. If that's the case, that that I don't need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, and if that's the case, and I have to just dip in order to arouse questions from the tino code. So why would the Tana not teach me Sha'ar Yirakot? So if that's the case, the Tana should teach me. In other words, now we want to say, which way does the Tana hold on mitzvot srichot kavana or mitzvot ein srichot kavana? So Rish Lakish has his theory of the Mishnah. Rish Lakish's theory of the Mishnah is the Tana holds mitzvot srichot kavana, and therefore I need to eat it twice. That's Rish Lakish's theory. So the opposite side would say, no, he holds mitzvot ein srichot kavana. They don't require kavana. And the reason you're eating it twice, the second time, the first time you know it's in the mitzvah. The second time when you're eating it is just so to arouse questions from the kids. That's why you're doing the second time the dipping. But if that's the case, why is the Tana of the Mishnah teaching me a case with maror? He should teach me with other vegetables. In other words, if the reason is the way Reish Lakish says, it makes sense that the Tana teaches me maror. Then Badafka, he's saying, even though you ate maror twice, you ate maror once, you have to eat it again. And that's to demonstrate that mitzvot srichot kavana. That makes sense. But if mitzvot ain't srichot kavana, in other words, I'm yotzei whether I have kavana or not, so that, and the only reason I'm dipping is because so the kids should ask questions, so the Tana should teach me a case where I have another vegetable for the first dipping. He says, v'chitei ma'im ken l'shamin ha'shar yirakot. So in Achinami, this theory is saying the Tana holds mitzvot ein srichot kavana. But if he would teach me shari rakod, havamina heichad iika shari rakod hu debeinu trei tibulei. I would have said if you have shari rakod, if I have another type of vegetable like celery, so then you require dipping twice. Aval chazeret lehuda lo bai trei tibulei. But if all you have is chazeret, that's the only thing you have is just the maror. So then in Achinami, we're not going to dip it twice. We're just going to have it once, and we're going to call it a day with that. He says, Kamash Malan, Dafilu Chazeret by trade tibule, Kehi Lave Be Hakeru Latino Code. That even with Chazeret, you require, in other words, having performed the mitzvah, I would say, that's it. It's Gunug. That we're going to call it a day with this. He says, but he says, no, in Achinami, even if you had Chazeret, there should be Hakeru Latino Code. Okay, now. So the point is, let's just summarize for a minute. So Reish Lakish says he wanted to bring a raya from our Mishnah, the mitzvot srichot kavana. But we said, there's another way I can interpret the Mishnah, that mitzvot ain't srichot kavana. And in Achinami, the two dippings are just so the kids will ask questions. The first time he eats the maror, he's yotzei the mitzvah. And the reason he teaches me maror is even though he ate maror and was yotzei the mitzvah, he still has to dip twice. That's the other alternative explanation of the Mishnah. Now,
is this
Wait. I'll when I say pause, then we pause. Okay, hold it for three more minutes. Okay, another 5-6 lines. He says, "Va'o Tanya." In addition to which, now I'm going to put another nail in Reish Lakish's coffin. We learn explicitly in the Brisa, "Achalan demai." If you ate the maror, demai is I bought it from an Ama Aretz. I don't know if most of the Ama Aretz did take maaser, but a significant minority did not take maaser. And normally I'm obligated to take maaser from it, but I didn't do it, and I ate it the way it was. Achlan demai yatsa. I'm yotzei the mitzvah. That's not the halacha we need, but I'm yotzei because the Rashi explains that if I would want, I could be mafkir all my nechasim, and then I'd be an ani, and an ani is not required to take maaser from demai. Achlan belomit kavein yatsa. Here's what we do need. The Braisa says if you ate it without focusing, you're yotzei. That's what the Tana of the Braisa says. Achlan lechatzayin yatsa. If I ate it in two halves, I'm yotzei, meaning I ate half the seer of maror, half a gezayis, and then another half a gezayis. I'm yotzei. provided that the amount of time from the beginning of the first achila to the end of the second achila is not more than kedei achila pras. And we've discussed in the past, achila pras means the amount of time to eat half a loaf of bread. Half a loaf of bread might be 3 or 4 beitzim, it depends on the machloket in the Gemara. And this machloket, what the shear is, and the times rate at the low end could be like 3 minutes, and at the top end maybe 9 minutes. So somewhere. In other words, you want to be machmir in both ways. So on the night of the Seder, you want to try to eat everything, let's say, within a few minutes. In other words, so you should know it is kedei achila pras. But he says, v'yedei b'kedei achila pras. So here, again, Reish Lakish is an Amara. So not just have we refuted his, you know, ostensible proof from the Mishnah, we have a brisa that says, mufurash, that if you eat the Mara below mitkaven, you are yotze. So that doesn't look good for Reish Lakish. Let me just do five more lines and I'll pause. I still know you want to ask a question, Fern. So the Gemara says Tanaihi. Like this is the typical flow with the Gemara. There's a machloket Tanaim. In Achinami, the Tana that Braisa holds, mitzvot, ein strichot, kavana. But we're going to see another Tana holds, they do require kavana. The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, afal pi, shetiba b'chazeret, even though Rabbi Yossi says he ate the chazeret b'tibul. He ate the chazeret by dipping it. Mitzvah la'vi l'fanav chazeret b'charoset u'shnei tavshilin. There's still a mitzvah to bring chazeret again and charoset and 2 tavshilin. So the Gemara says v'yakati mimoi dilmaksav Rabbi Yossi mitzvot ein srichot kavana. So what did you prove? That doesn't prove conclusively that Rabbi Yossi holds mitzvot srichot kavana. Maybe he holds mitzvot ein srichot kavana. V'aydmin entrei tibula yikechit levei tekeru latino kot. Maybe the 2 dippings are just so the kids will know. Imkein my mitzvah. So then why would he say it's a mitzvah lahavi? In other words, that lashon mitzvah is like I have a key mitzvah. So from Rabbi Yossi's mashma that in Achinami there is a Tana who holds the mitzvah srichot kavana. And you have to have a specific kavana of Yossi the mitzvah. Okay, and that supports Reish Lakish. Okay, let's hear from you, Fern, and from anybody else who's got questions, comments, and thoughts.
Isn't this an unusual case where someone takes the chazeret and uses it for karpas?
Yes.
So what are we learning out so much from this unusual case?
In other words, the Tana of the Mishnah has formulated the Mishnah this way. In other words, Rashi says he doesn't have any other vegetables. He only has, that's all he has. The only vegetable he's got is this bitter herb, chazeret, and he's using it twice. But the Gemara is trying to figure out, why does the Tana give me that case, and what can I deduce from it?
So if mitzvot srichot kavana, then the first time he has it, he has to have kavana for karpas, which no one has discussed.
You're permission kasha with one. Karpas doesn't require kavana. Karpas, I'm just eating bori pri hadama. So
is it a mitzvah?
It means that in the order we do it, but there's not a specific mitzvah to eat the karpas. So he's saying that the first time he eats it, he ate it, but he didn't have kavana b'yotz in the mitzvah. So he ate it a second time, l'shem mitzvah. That's what the Reish Lakish is saying. And the other side is saying, no, maybe mitzvahs don't require kavana. In Achinami, he is yotz in the mitzvah the first time around. And the second time is just so the kids will ask questions. All right.
Why it's not why preferred is... to use the chazeret twice.
Say again, what?
So one prefers not to use the chazeret twice. That's not optimal.
Right, we'll see, but more optimal would be, right, to have like we do. What you got for me, Michael?
Why doesn't the bracha help define what he's actually doing?
Well, that's what Reish Lakish wanted to say. Reish Lakish said the first time around, he just made Bori Pri Hadama. Michael, you still there? Yeah, but that goes to the crux of Mitzvot Ein Srichot Kavana. Let's say a person puts on a pair of tefillin and doesn't recite a bracha on it. So if I say Mitzvot Ein Srichot Kavana, let's say I lift my lulav and estro, I don't make a bracha on it. Did I fulfill a mitzvah? So mitzvah saying Srichos Kavana, I did. I did the mitzvah. That's what he's saying. So he was saying the mitzvah. All right. Any other questions?
Yes, another question.
What's
if
up?
The whole point of second dipping is entice the kids to ask, but Manishana comes in the beginning of the Seder.
How would they know the second question?
Right. So like Michael's saying, it is a famous question. I tell you, there's...
What's a famous answer?
Okay, I'll give you 2 answers, but you can have more answers. So the simp- the semi-simple answer is that he sees the charoset on the table, and he sees and they've already done one dipping, and he realizes that they're going to dip again in the charoset. So they use the son's a chacham, and he says, "I see." We dipped once, and I see there's another dipping coming up ahead. But there's a piece of Torah which the Rav quote, or it's the quoted in the Siach HaGrid, which is the Haggadah with the Torah from the Rav. So the Rav said, and it's like in Reb Chaim's home, it's not the way we have it that the kid says Manishtana. In other words, the Bala Seder. In other words, in the old days, like just the Bala Seder would recite everything and everybody would listen. And today, everybody recites it. So Reb Chaim felt that the Mishnah is saying, it's like in the Mishnah, who's reciting Manishtana? So there's one, let's see where the Mishnah comes up with Manishtana, but so one way to understand it is not that the child is asking the Manishtana, it's the father is reciting Manishtana. He says, in other words, not the Kanabansh, let me see. Yeah, if you look at the Mishnah on Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, that's got the Manishtana. Yosef, you're looking with me? Where are you, Yosef? Yosef? Yeah.
So I'm here, I'm looking.
Yeah, Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. So it says V'kan HaBen Shuel Aviv. So he says V'kan, so V'mein Dad B'ven Aviv Malamdo. In other words, the way Reb Chaim wanted to understand it is that the son asks whatever's bothering him, and the father answers. And then when it comes to Manishtana, that's the father saying Manishtana. So the father knows that they're going to dip twice. That's the way the Reb Chaim would learn the Mishnah, or one way of theory of doing it. But there are other answers as well, but you need to be ma'ayin in all of this for the Leil HaSeder. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Why is karpas not a mitzvah? You're making a bracha.
If I eat a banana, am I doing a mitzvah? In other words, there's a requirement to
making
make a bracha.
I'm
saying like a mitzvah, I'm talking about mitzvahs d'oraisa, mitzvahs d'rabbanan. So the achilas karpas doesn't count in one of the mitzvahs halayla. We have certain mitzvahs that night on the Leil HaSeder, mitzvah d'oraisa, sipur yisus yisrayim, mitzvah d'oraisa, achilas matzah, mitzvah d'rabbanan, achilas maror bizman hazeh, arba kosos d'rabbanan. And then you have the mitzvah saying halal, but the karpas doesn't cut it. Okay? In other words, the karpas is just to stimulate the kids to ask questions. Okay, what else you got?
If an adult doesn't say the Manishtana, is that a problem?
Is someone saying Manishtana? Who's saying Manishtana? Yeah, so according
to... A child.
Right, so the way Reb Chaim understood it, Reb Chaim felt that everybody should say Manishtana, not just the child, that the adults should also say Manishtana. And he would say that it's not right if you're not saying Manishtana. All right.
So what's the official rule?
I don't have official rules, but I think it's advisable to say Manishtana. Okay, now, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's go on. All right, now, you know, it's interesting. These daven, I thought this would take 2 minutes, the whole daven. I see it's just barely making it within the time. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. We're now around 12 lines from the bottom on Kuf Yudal and Amud Beis, okay? So the Gemara says, Ma'ishnei Tavshilin. Now we said you bring two Tavshilin, two cooked items that are on the Seder plate. And when it says two Tavshilin, that obviously is after the Korban Abayit, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they had the Korban Chagiga, they had the Korban Pesach. So obviously when the Tana Mishnah is referring to this, he's talking about after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So one corresponds to, reminds us, a Zecher, the Korban Pesach, and one is a Zecher, the Korban Chagiga. He says, Amar Rav Huna, Silka Varuza. So Rav Huna says you can even have cooked beets and rice. That's what Rav Huna says. In other words, it doesn't have to be even meat. It can be even something like cooked beets and rice. Rava have a mahadar a silka varuza, hol benafik mi pumi the Rav Huna. Rava Badavka would try to get cooked beets and rice for his, since Rav Huna had said it. So Rava was very much machshiv with the words of his Rabbi, and he felt, and he would try Badavka to do it that way. Amar Rav Ashi, Shmamina mid Rav Huna, late the Chayish Lahad Rav Yochan Manuri. So from Rav Huna's halacha, that we can use cooked rice, this is nice for our Sephardic friends, is that we can use cooked rice as one of the two cooked items. So that proves that nobody is concerned for the Sheet of the Tana Rav Yochan Manuri, who we had earlier in our Masechta, I think on Daf Lamed Hay. Titani, we learn in the Brisa, Rav Yochanan Nuri Omer, Orez min Daganhu, v'chayv nilchimut sokaret. Rav Yochanan Nuri says that rice is one of the types of grains, and your chayv, if it ferments, you're chayav for chametz, from possessing chametz and eating chametz. But conversely, then one could make a rice matzah and fulfill one's obligation. But since Rav Huna said that we could be yotze the two tafshilim with cooked rice, doesn't sound like he's too concerned about chimutz. In other words, the chimutz, I'm not going to spend cooking it, right? I'm not going to cook grain for the seder. But he says I could. So he's not concerned with the shita Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Chizki Amar, afilu dag ubeitza shalav. Chizki says, I can even have a cooked fish, an egg smeared over it, even though it's normally viewed as like one food item. For this, I could take it as two food items. Rav Yosef Amar, tzirich shnei minei basar, echad zecher l'pesach, v'echad zecher l'chagiga. Rav Yosef says you need two types of meat, one to remind us of the Korban Pesach, one zecher l'chagiga. Ravina Amar, afilu grama ubishula. Ravina says, now grama, garma ubishula. Garma is usually a bone, but it could also mean a piece of meat. So a piece of meat and the broth that came with it. So pshita, okay, that I have. Now, let's just, one second. Let's do some Tosfos. Let's look at the first very wide line of Tosfos downstairs. Everybody have it. So silka v'aruza, we said the cooked beets and the rice, v'choshken shnei b'nei basar. In other words, when Rav Huna says silka v'aruza, that's like the minimum, but you could even, certainly two types of meat is even better. He says, late the chash la de Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, nobody's concerned Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, tamadeinu bali de chimutz, el de sirchon perikol sha'a. So he says it's that which takes place with rice is not called fermentation, it's called, like rotting, sirchon. Now, shnei minei basar, pirish ben chananel, tzli zeichel pesach, mavushal zeichel chagiga. Rabbeinu Chananel says, I left out there's a Rashbam I should have done here. One second, where is it? Yeah, let's do the Rashbam first. If you look five lines to the bottom of the Rashbam, it says, shnei minei basar, tzli kenegad pesach, the roasted meat will be zeichel korban pesach, Umavushal kenegin chagiga. Kachvish Rabbeinu Chananel miromi. Rabbeinu Chananel from Romi, this is different than the regular Rabbeinu Chananel. He says that the one piece of meat is roasted, and that's zecher l'korban pesach. We don't eat that meat. That would be like our shank bone. And have another piece of meat, which is like boiled, and that would be zecher l'chagiga. The chagiga could be roasted or it could be boiled. So boiled that way. Now let's look at Tosfos, the third white line in Tosfos. Shnei b'nei basar. So Pirush Rabbeinu Chananel, Sli Zeichel Pesach, Mavushal Zeichel Chagiga. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that the roasted meat is Zeichel Pesach, and the cooked meat is Zeichel Chagiga. V'lo Nehira, I don't think that makes sense. The Kaimelan Kementema, Dein Chagiga Nechel Tzali, Demanitin Atya Kvate. So he says that's not right, because we had this earlier in our Gemara, Bentema holds as a Hekesh between the court. It says, V'lo Talin Nechel Chagiga Ad Boker. Don't leave the fat of my chagi, chel of chagi ad boker. So, and this is Zevach Chag HaPasach. He says, I can't remember the whole pasuk, but there's a hekesh between the Korban Chagiga and the Korban Pesach, according to Ben Tema, and they both have to be roasted. So, l'chach nirid t'rogmu v'shalin v'chei mashvel shon tavshilin. So Tosfos says they should both be cooked, not sali, make them both cooked, and that's adequate. In other words, we want to make it a zecher, but we don't want it to be too similar. That's the way Tosfos says. Now, one second. You know, so much I want to do with it, I'm running out of time. Let me just say this quickly. The Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch that the one zecher, the Pesach, should be tzali, and the one we use an egg for the chagiga, and that, but then the Rama says that also should be tzali. And the two reason we have used both, I don't have time to explain everything, but it's like forms a sentence, like by Rahmana, Lamech Pakyatana Bidra'a, it's like Hashem wants to take us out with an outstretched arm. So egg in Aramaic is Baya, but Baya can mean to want. Hashem wants to take us out with an outstretched arm. Okay, now let me finish the Gemara, and then I'll try to come back to the Tosfos and do whatever I can in the meantime. I'm running out of time. So this is back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, uh, Okay, now 5 lines to the bottom. Hecha deika shir yirakod, mevarech hashar yirakod, borei pri hadam v'achil, v'hadam mevarech, al achilat ma'rur v'achil. So if you have shar yirakod, and this Gemara is going, according to Toso says, is going like Reish Lakish, that you do need kavana for it. So you do need kavana. So he says, so then if I have shar yirakod, the first time around I'm going to make borei pri hadama, and the second time around I'll make the al achilat ma'rur. What if I only have lettuce? I only have the maror, and I hold like Reish Lakish that mitzvot strichos kavana. So what bracha will I make the first time around? So Amar Rav Huna mevarech miikara maror bori pri adama ba'achil. So mevarech le alach the maror ba'achil. So Rav Papa says the first time around, just make the bracha bori pri adama, and you won't have kavanah to be yotzei. And the second time around, you will have kavanah to be yotzei, and you make achilas maror. So you do the brachot the same as always. That's what he wants to say. So the top line on Kuf Tet Vav Amud Aleph, Matkiv L'Rav Chista. Rav Chista asks a strong kasha against this. L'char Shemile Kreso Imenu Chozir Mabarech Aleh. He's been eating all this maror. Now he's going to make the bracha l'achilas maror. It was like you already stuffed yourself with maror. It's not like pastish to do it that way. Ela Am Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, you'll have come out of the first time around, l'shem mitzvah. He says, v'sof achil achilat chasa below bracha. And then the second time around, you just eat it because you want the kids to ask a question. You won't make any bracha on it. It was the first time around, you make pori pri adama al achilat maror. You'll be yotzei the mitzvah. Second time around, you just eat it without a bracha. He says, "B'suria abdi k'Rav Huna." In Surya, they did the way Rav Huna did it, which is, you know, the bracha the second time around. Rav Sheshit b'Reid Rav Shua abdi k'Rav Chista. Rav Sheshit did like Rav Chista. B'hilchata k'vate to Rav Chista. The Gemara says the lach follows Rav Chista, so that if you only have maror, then the first time around you make borei pri adama. And the second time around, you don't make any bracha. All right, now, just give me a minute. Let me just do some things, and we'll do the best we can. You know, if you look at the second last Tosos quickly, he says, "Chazeich lepesa, chazeich lechagiga." Let's say the first day of Pesach, like this year, is on a Motzei Shabbat. So Tosfos says you only need one cooked dish. I don't need like all the items on the Seder plate. He says the Chagiga Arbasa in a Docher Shabbat. He says that the Korban Pesach, the Chagiga, is not brought on Shabbos. So the Rebbe says, no, we shouldn't make a distinction between when it's on Saturday night or other nights. That makes it look more like it's an actual korban. We want it's just a zecher. So we want to go forward and have the zecher on all circumstances. Okay, let me just say a line or two from the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll take some questions, then it's got to be it. So let me get it out. What am I looking for again? This is about the Ka'ara, right? Okay, one second. Yeah. Okay, so the Mechaber says, Babasar, now he says, the Mechaber says, this is in Siman Tafayin Gimel, Sif Dalid, we have two tefshilin, Chazeich lePesach, Chazeich lChagiga, V'nagu b'basar u'beitza. The minag is to take one piece of meat and an egg. And then he says, "Babasar nagushe zroa." The minhag is that the piece of meat should be zroa, which is like the foreleg of the animal. He says, "Vinahagusha basar yitzali al gachalim." The minhag is the meat should be roasted on coals. The egg is just cooked in water, boiled in water, because that's seichel chagiga, doesn't require tzali. He says, but then he says, "Behu adin sluya." He says it could also have its tzali, b'cheino again b'ireno. That's the way the minag in our city. He says let's load a beitza to roast the beitza. So we end up roasting both. So the way Rav Packer said, and you saw it in Tosfos, he says like we're choshesh for the shita of Ben Tema, who holds that it has to be tzali. That's the way Ben Tema held that it had to be tzali. Now, obviously, the Zroa, you can't eat on the night of the Pesach because we don't eat Tzali on the night of the Pesach. All right. Now, and then, I didn't read about the distinction, but again, let me see here. Tafayin Gimel. One second. Let me get it out one quickly. He says, yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'imchal erev Pesach b'Shabbat, if erev Pesach is on a Shabbos like this year, yesh omrim de'ainsirit likach rak tavshil echad keneged Pesach, dechagiga ein ba'az." Some say you only need one tavshil. He says because there's no korban chagiga this year if we've been in the base of Mekdash. V'yesh omrim da'afal picha ainsirit tavshil kmo sharshanim v'lo plug rabbanu mezeh v'lo zecher ba'alma. Some say it's low plug, and then he quotes here in the Shulchan Aruch Harav that you shouldn't be medaktik with this, like the Bali Tosfot, and to leave out the Tavshil, because that's Nira being so careful that it's like making it like Kachim, as if it is actual Kachim, and it's not Kachim. Okay, I have 60 seconds for questions. I'm going to go. What's up?
How much karkas are you supposed to eat? You said you were stuffing your face on Maror.
No, well, if you're having the karpas, there's a whole Dion that's been discussed, and Rav Shachter spoke about it, but I think the simple way would be to have less than a kezayit, okay? Eat less than a kezayit. All right.
So then you will not have stuffed your face with you would just have a little bit, right?
Well, you could continue eating it, but if you eat more than a kezayit, then you technically have a chiyuv to make a bracha achrona. Right. I'm going to have a long hefsek between now and the meal. So, but then I would keep eating as I go along. If you want to have more than a kezayis, do that. But then keep eating as you go along. In other words, then it would stuff your face. And I think that's the way I heard in the name of Rav Shechter. Okay, really quick, who you pay Tavi? You have a question?
The charoset, isn't that with cooked dates? That's also a cooked item on there, isn't it? I don't know what you have for charoset.
No. We want to say that. So what's the point?
That's another cooked item.
Yeah, well, he's saying, what's cooked in the charoset?
The dates. They're boiled.
They're boiled
until you get a syrup.
I'm not familiar with that, frankly.
How do you make a charoset? I mean, charoset is boiled.
We have dates, but I'm not aware that they're boiled, frankly.
They're boiled until you get a syrup. We get the syrup out of it.
This I don't know. But the point is that we're talking about, like, all right, this I don't know about the charoset. Okay, let me.
If you follow Rav Chisda, then you're not having the maror after the matzah.
Why? No, everybody holds you're having the maror after the
matzah. The second one is just eating it because to entice the kids. The first one, you would say for both, no?
Yeah, but no. You're right. It's just for the kids, but you're going to have it. You're going to have it after the matzah, though. You'll have it after the matzah. Okay. But, what's the question?
Well, aren't you yotze the first time together?
It was the first time you're having just the maror by itself. You yotze the mitzvah. But then you still have a little maror after the matzah. They would still do it that way, but it's like, so the kids will ask questions. But that's
And do you have a late marriage tonight?
Yeah, I hope you'll come there. I need people. Okay, I got to wrap it up. Let me end the recording. Okay.